Good morning. Today is my day to speak. I remember Wes saying that being up here is like his happy place, but it's not mine. It's not my favorite place, but it's a good thing for me once in a while, I think, just to stretch a little bit and get out of my comfort zone. So here I am, and I'll just open with a quick prayer. Thank you, Lord, again for this day and this time we can be together, and just appreciating the privilege and the freedom to meet together, to worship together openly and freely, and to read your word. We thank you for your word, and pray you'll give us wisdom and insight as we read your word, that we can hear from you what you want to say to us today. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Mike usually opens with a joke. I don't have a good joke, but I've got a video. If it works, hopefully. You want to give it a try, Carl? Good. That'll kind of tie in with the message, but that's just an old TV commercial, but not actually a true story as far as I know. Wanted to take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verses 18 to 20. And I'll just read it here. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some, having rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck. And of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. We came across this passage in our devotions with the boys a while back, and the word that really caught my attention in that passage was shipwreck. And I just got thinking about shipwrecks, and if we were to compare our faith journey to a boat sailing on the ocean, then what would cause a shipwreck, or how can we avoid a shipwreck? Unfortunately for myself, I have basically no experience with ships, or very little with boats in general, so I had to do some research. Can't really speak from experience, but there are many different things that can cause a shipwreck on the ocean. And for the sake of this message, we'll just look at three of them. One being weather, two being human error, and three being the enemy. So whether storms on the ocean are, they are really inevitable, storms are violent and unpredictable, though modern ships have all sorts of technology to predict weather and track storms, still they can't always be avoided. When a boat goes out on the ocean, it's just a risk that they take, and it's understandable. Sooner or later, they will encounter storms and violent weather. So if a ship is caught in a violent storm, there are certain things they must do in order to protect the ship and to stay afloat. One thing, as I understand it, is that they will try to point the ship into the wind, facing into the storm, because otherwise, if the ship turns and rolls up on the waves, the ship can capsize or be turned over. Or if the ship is turned around completely, then it will be driven by the storm and they'll have no control. They'll just be at the mercy of the storm. So one thing they try to do is keep the ship facing into the storm. And another thing is that they continue moving forward rather than just throwing it into neutral and trying to sit there, but they actually continue moving forward, because when they're moving forward, that allows them to be able to steer the ship and maintain some control. So as we go through life, we face many storms of our own. It can be health issues, loss of loved ones, broken relationships, financial crisis. The list could go on and on. Like a ship on the sea, we can't always avoid the storms, but when they come, we can face them head on and continue moving forward. The storms can damage us. They can even blow us off course, but we must not allow them to destroy us. John 16:33, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." We can have peace in the storms. We know that he's with us and that he has overcome. Now, the second one is human error, a major cause of shipwrecks. As we saw in our video, navigational errors, poor communication or lack of communication, being fatigued, not being alert, or failing to maintain or repair the ship are a few examples of things that cause shipwrecks in real life. If anyone remembers, the Exxon Valdez was an oil tanker that ran aground off the coast of Alaska. I think it was found out later on that whoever was piloting the ship was over the legal limit for alcohol at that point, so not being alert, not doing his job properly. For ourselves, we can be shipwrecked on our journey by our own pride or arrogance, our doubts, our fears and worries. We can be distracted and we can be deceived. And Matthew 26:41, Jesus said, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Being alert and prayerful are two of the most important things we can do on our journey. And distractions is a big one. For the generation we live in with modern technology, it's very, very easy for us to be distracted. Not always by things that are necessarily bad even, but just things that take our time and attention and could be better used elsewhere. The third one we'll look at is the enemy. Ships can be attacked and sunk by pirates or by the enemy during wartime. They can protect themselves with defensive weapons, evasive maneuvers, or by staying in protected areas. An example would be convoys during the war. The ships would assemble near Halifax, and they would sail as a convoy across the ocean to bring supplies to England. They would stay in a group, and then other ships would surround them and protect the convoy, and then they would actually move in a zigzag as they went across the ocean so that they could confuse the enemy and remain safe, I guess. As believers, we are always in wartime. We have the armor of God, as we can read in Ephesians 6. But our weapon is the Word. I was thinking of Joseph, Genesis 39, when he's being bothered by Potiphar's wife. And his evasive maneuver was to run for it. That's an example of an evasive maneuver. We should avoid people, places, and things that we know are not helpful to us. Sometimes there are certain people that it's just better to avoid. We know they're not going to be helpful. So, going back to our original passage in 1 Timothy, looking at the context of this letter, after Paul was released from his first imprisonment, he made a journey to revisit some of these cities that he'd gone to before, where he'd planted churches, and to kind of check up on how these new believers were doing. He took Timothy along with him, but he left Timothy in Ephesus to deal with some of the problems that had come up in that church. And one of them was false teachers and false doctrine that was creeping into the church. Timothy was like a son to Paul, or his spiritual son, and he trusted him to leave him in charge and try to sort out some of these issues. So in the passage it mentions Hymenaeus and Alexander, these two men. We don't know very much about them. They're mentioned here, and Hymenaeus is mentioned again in 2 Timothy in connection with another false teacher. And there's also an Alexander mentioned in 2 Timothy as an opponent of the gospel. It could be the same guy. But apart from that, we don't know a whole lot about them or what happened to them. But Paul said he had delivered them to Satan. And this, the most likely explanation is that he removed them from the church because their influence was so damaging and dangerous to other believers. So what kind of shipwreck did they suffer? They rejected faith and a good conscience, as it says in verse 19. So thinking about ships and boats, what makes a boat to be a boat is that it has to float. It has to be buoyant. Having faith, as it says in verse 19, means continuing to believe the truth. So for the purpose of this analogy, we could say that faith, or continuing to believe the truth, is what keeps our ships afloat. If we're not floating, then we're sinking, or we're already sunk. The best way that we can know the truth is to read it in God's Word. Let Him reveal it to us. If we are not actively reading the Word, then I would venture to say that we are already sinking. And the second What steers a ship is the rudder. A ship can't navigate anything or go anywhere if it can't steer. Our conscience works like a rudder to help us steer around dangerous places and steer us in the direction that we need to go. God has given it to us to help guide us. We can choose to ignore it, but in the end it will lead to disaster, as it did for Hymenaeus and Alexander. They rejected the truth and ignored their consciences, and so suffered shipwreck. In conclusion, God is with us on our journey, or on our voyage, and He's given us everything we need. We must trust Him and use what He's given to us. Read the Word, pray, resist the enemy, and listen to our conscience. Then we can avoid a shipwreck. That's all I got.